Commoning.
Carol Lovell, Eagle. Janet Kahalikai.
Ayo.
Barbara C. Hale. We have quorum. All members of the Kauai Hilbert Council are present. We'll proceed to the election of chair and vice chair. At this time, I open nominations for chair by nominating Janet Kalihani Kahalukai. Are there any other nominations for chair? Hearing none, I close the nominations for chair. Nominations for vice chair. Carol. Any other nominations? Hearing none, I close the nominations for vice chair. All those in favor of accepting the nominations as presented, Chair Kauilani Kahalikai, Vice Chair Carol Lovell, signify by saying aye. Anyone opposed? Abstaining? Motion carried. So your new chair for next 4-year term will be Kauilani Kahalikai, Vice Chair will be Carol Lovell. Minutes of the last meeting of the Kauai Hilbert Council was held on Wednesday, November 16th, 2022. The minutes were previously sent out. Everyone should have had a chance to review them. Are there any corrections, additions, comments? Hearing none, we're ready for the question. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as presented, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstaining?
I abstain because I wasn't here.
Okay, likewise, we have
Yeah.
one person abstaining from all of those. Motion carried. Down item number 5, business discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities.
That meant to say Hawaii Island Borough.
Okay,
yeah.
Is this something that Shippy is going to chair or?
I am not sure. I think that might be an agenda item.
Okay.
But Shifty has no updates.
No updates? Okay. So I'm going to just keep. Okay. We're going to move to item number 6, inadvertent communications. And under this, we have A, inadvertent discovery of unidentified human skeletal remains, ship D number 503002025350253536 and 02540, encountered during monitored septic tank and leach field system upgrades at 4400 Oni'oni Road, Waini'a, Ahupua'a, Palilia District, Island of Kauai, TMK 458008034. And it goes on to say notification and discussion. Notification and discussion on the involved inadvertent discovery. Is this a shipping item?
I don't have updates for that. I wasn't the one that responded to that, but I can provide the little information I know
Okay.
of it.
I never received any correspondence or anything for this particular thing in my package. We have action.
Of the on
I have that just I only got an email copy.
I don't have any additional information on this.
So is it in the package that it's not in my package?
Page 2.
I only showed that to
Sorry, this was on this was part this was on this is on my agenda and it was on page 2.
Let's see.
I don't have an extra copy. Regina.
If you mean the on the agenda page.
It's on the agenda, it's on page the second page.
Or just the addition any
I didn't get that either.
Well, I used to receive any notification from shipping. Yeah.
I'm sure we did. Provide written procedure.
No, it's following
it's
the
just, it's just
following the agenda.
It's following the agenda.
So it's whatever is here, that's all we have.
That's all we have.
Okay.
I don't have dates, but I can say just based on what I have read in our deal in our internal reports, there were a total of 8 variables that were in a to be discovered. They are categorized into, and I don't know what the categorization criteria were, but they're categorized into 3 different SIHP numbers, which are on the agenda. And from what I recall, the SHPD is going to be providing a coordinated response either at or before the next NIBC meeting, which is scheduled for December 18, 2024. Yeah, December 18, 2024. If there's any questions, I can take the questions and take those back to Shibby.
Does anyone have questions for Regina?
Regina, I do. These burials are inadvertent burials. Wasn't there a controversy on what is that of the discovery of it, or like they, you know, as we, I mean, I've heard discussions on it. So, was there a discovery on what the plan is for it, or? They're just now just saying, we're going to go and get them, or,
you know? I unfortunately do not know.
You know what I'm saying is, it's because as much as it is now has numbers on it or categorizing this category, but are they actually doing something with it? Because as far as I know, upon what we were a discussion that had happened in the community meeting, in that it was put back into the area that it was discovered, and they were going to just have put a buffer zone there, which the decision came down to they decided to do that. So, is that kind of cleared out, or?
I don't think it's cleared out. That's kind of further discussion or part of each.
Any other comments? Anyone have anything else for Regina on this topic?
Much more digging is planned.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that I don't care.
I have not visited the site, so I can't say.
Yeah, neither have I. But according to what? The community meeting, according to that, it had to do with the septic tank areas. And they had like 3 areas that was dug up. Right?
I can answer you.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
So what are you doing? Wait 1 minute.
I think it's a mess.
Okay.
Aloha, this is Megan Wong. We were on the site starting 15 minutes after the first Ivi Kupuna was found. There's tank 1 that has 2 burials, a child laying on top of a adult. That's the first one. They moved on that day across about 20 feet, and they discovered inadvertently 1 more and then 2 more resting in the wall. The next morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, they came back to continue digging, and we stopped the job. We asked, like, how many burials are you going to dig up before you realize that this is a burial? This is a graveyard. So there's 4 known at that time. GPS came in by Tommy IU. He mapped out, he called utility lines. Some we could tell were utility lines because they lined up in a straight. Others were sporadic and they were all over the property. That didn't change their the way that they were digging. So now we move maybe in about July. They dig in the very front, which is the first property nearest to the road. We were on site for this, and that was a leach field and a tank. No burials were found in that area. It sat for 3 months, and we said the family of the area do not want their Iwikupuna buried with a septic tank in their grave. They disincluded us at the time that they decided to dig again. So they.
So wait, they, 1 minute. I mean, was it the lineal descendant, or did they, or it was
so you guys? Lineal descendants reached out and said they were never contacted by SHPD, OHA, or Burial Council. So they're asking, where does their input come in? They never got a response. And those are only lineal descendants that I know who say they have been recognized. So I don't have a list of lineal descendants. And other lineal descendants who have not been recognized but are recognized, basically they are known to be lineal descendants, including myself and my brother. We are descendants from Kalalau all the way to Haena, Molawa, many, many locations. But we were really calling out to the lineal descendants that came forward and that said, no, we're not okay with this. So we said, don't worry, everyone is, you know, on board. The owner says he wants to do the right thing. So all of those descendants kind of stood down because Paula was involved and recognized without paperwork that she was a lineal descendant and they were going to hear this out. So when they went back to digging without us there, they, on the second tank where there's three graves found, they shifted the angle of the tank to ignore the bodies on the wall, and they shifted that angle. They ignored the flag that was mapped out to have an anomaly there, and whoops, there was another body. And then because of the machine work that was going on, whoops, two more bodies fell out of the wall. So now you have six bodies in one hole. That's on tank number two, and tank number one still has the two. Then they moved on to the leach field that runs down the driveway for tank number two. That was dug also without us there. There they find parts of a baby and an adult. They take those, Evie, and they add them to the hole of six. They put a ply board between the Evie burials and the tank, calling that the buffer. And it's maybe 3 feet at most between that. And then they dumped sand over the top. Then we get arrested on Friday in October. I can't remember the date now. And that day they pushed forward with the machine and they dug up another leach field that would have been for tank number one. It had been scattered with flags, but all flags were removed. There's no map existing. And they went ahead and aggressively dug. We, of course, were not there because we were arrested. And so other people were filming. The cultural monitor was not watching. The machine operator was aggressively digging. And you can see all of this in the video and it's been reported. And then we come back on Saturday after the arrest. And Sunday we do protocol, we do ceremony, and we start to find parts of bodies everywhere. So on the tank number two, we find a portion of a po'o laying on the top as we're standing there doing prayer. As we take ho'okupu, while the mayor was there and Kona was in a downward receiving form, taking it from office, Lieutenant Green, no, Captain Green, he saw another bone laying right in his path. And so now it's a mess. And this is why we're at this place that we're at. We don't know where these EV that are laying on the surface have come from now, because we weren't there, we weren't present. And all we know is that the last part of the dig, the cultural monitor was not watching. And so we are asking that all be sifted again We asked the tanks to be removed. And from the very beginning, we asked for a redesign of the system, that it's not okay, it's never been okay to put a tank in a grave. It's also not okay to remove them. And we need to stop that practice, because removing Ivi Kupuna from their place of rest is not okay. And we need to figure out a way to redesign, because as we can see, there's a whole family, a whole ohana who is buried in the area. I wouldn't like if you plucked me or my children out away from me to go put me somewhere more convenient to the buyer, or the person who owns the property now. They don't own the Ivi Kupuna. We do. And the ones who should have the loudest voice, it should be the descendants of the area. And I explained, like, you know, Auntie Nani was really sweet about this. She said, I don't know who is buried here, but I hanai them. And in our culture, hanai is very much alive. We still hanai today. And so I don't know who that is. But as I live in Wainiha today, I can say, if I'm not related to somebody, we know our village. And the village back then was even more tight. So most likely my kupuna, if I'm a descendant of that area, also knows those people who were buried there, regardless if they were related or not. And I don't care what ethnicity they are either. You know, so it just, my part on listening in on this and learning is that we got to do better. This moving them around and moving them out of the septic area is not okay. We need to redesign. So I'd ask that we look into that. And yes, I'm glad that Shipti is still on board, that we're not done with this, but we need to remove the tanks, sift, and do a thorough job, because this has been done really kapulu. And if it was your ohana, you would not appreciate their Ivi laying all over out there in the elements like that, and not knowing, now we don't know who belongs where and what, because it's been so mixed up. So if there's any questions to the specifics, since we have spent months there, and I'm happy to answer.
Mahalo, Megan, for sharing.
This is called, I'd like to add a bit to that. I jumped on. I didn't know the meeting was happening this morning, so I'm actually at work. Boys are doing the thing. I'm stepping aside for a minute to listen in. And my question to you guys as the council is, in regards to Oni Oni, is who was there that went along with the okaying of leaving the Ivi in place? Is Barbara Say in the room? Excuse me? I guess the question is Barbara Say in the room?
Yes.
Is Barbara Say on? Okay. So to my understanding, she was there, and I want to know, my question is what was the overall consensus on the council's behalf in participating in making decisions along with SHPD.
Excuse me, could you please repeat? You're coming in broken up. We're having a hard time understanding you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
It's better. Thank you.
Okay, so my question is, to Barbara said, and to burial council as a whole, who was aware of Oni Oni and what was happening down there, according to what I know, Barbara State showed up on site. So after that happens, was there a meeting held to come up with a census, a decision on behalf of the Ivi in the tanks? What was that decision? Who made that decision? That's my question to burial council.
There was no meeting. We didn't. Okay. We couldn't meet. We this is our first meeting since 2 years ago. So there was no meeting. And
I went with Nancy and I saw the puka. The first one, there was Ivi on the side. My suggestion was, don't touch them because they were embedded. Put a buffer, cement, like that. In case the septic tank doesn't work well, the kukai is not on our kupuna. Okay? The second one, I told Nancy, I said, we need, my inside, my na'au told me, taken out because the sand kept fluffing. And I said, I'm sure there's going to be more. And this was conversation just with Nancy. Megan came there. She looked at me and she said, hi. She took off. So I'm sure she went and told her comrades, don't come. Barbara Say is there. You know, we take care of Kupuna. What is Megan Wong? What is her title that she has to go to people's property and disturb?
Wait. Hold on. What is your title, though? Are you Kanaka, Barbara?
Yes, I am.
First of all, you are Kanaka.
You.
Okay, is your family from Haena?
No, but I live
okay,
in
so, okay. So there, that's right there. That is the title that my sister holds over you. That is the title, and that's it. And the fact that you keep moving Kupuna whenever you decide from here to there, we had the same conversation at in Hanalei when I was there with you. First thing you came on site, you said the same thing. What brought us? Are you guys not going to do development? Told them like that. Oh, over there. Okay, we're going to take this out and we're going to put them over there. What gives you, what is your title that gives you the right to move Kupuna around?
Just don't.
That is my question to you.
Property and Hano Ino, the owner. No.
No. He's not the owner. So you referring to these guys as owner, you're wrong already. What makes somebody that purchases the TMK the owner and not the Kanaka, owner of the Eevee? You're wrong already. Why are you sitting on barrel counter if you don't understand that? That is my question to you. And what gives you the authority to be saying where Eevee Kupuna gets moved to without consulting with any of the descendants? Just clearly stated that you're not from Haena.
I don't
so what is your title? What gives you that right? That is my question to you. And Barrel Council, you guys should be overseeing this when this happens. I don't see how this is getting allowed again and again. And I can promise you that we're going to be standing in every time you come down to this side based on the decisions that we've been following you guys making the past 4 years. So that's all I wanted to know. Thank you. I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
You know, if the landowner goes through the proper procedure, there was Milton Ching. He was the gentleman there. He had Malama, all that. These people get no business, you know, going into somebody's property. No.
You're wrong, Barbara Sam. You're wrong because we're the descendants of that era. We're wrong. We have the right to the evening. You got to go look at your law school. You're going to sit on barrel council. I suggest you go refer to not only the HRSs that are in place today and the 6Es that been skipped on top of this process at Oneone, but also to our old laws to reflect on how you should act and how the HRSs came about to make better decisions on behalf of our EV Kupuna. And if you are not, then I suggest you should step down from that seat. Because you are not representing us Kanaka how it should be. You are not protecting our with our Kupuna like that is not protection. So that is my statement to you.
Fine. Thank you. You are so smart. Yeah. Thank you.
Can I just say something on what you mentioned? My name is Rosin Cummings. You mentioned Milton Ching. So what I want to cover is protocol. I was on site in June and I came out in October with the Kahel. I took Milton's interview and I have it written down. SHPD has it. It's in the police report. There wasn't a police report made at all. At all. From the beginning in June through July, September, and October, no police report was made. My tutukane is William Nuiola Waikaka Kualu. He's very well known and has thousands of chants. He lived in Wainiha. My kupuna, the Kaianui Ohana, and Tutuvahine Kepani Waioiao is from Wainiha. I only went there to kokua the Ohana out there. Kona and Megan is correct. I was out in Hanalei when they did that site over on my own tutukane, Samuel Ka'aloa's aina, where the current base yard sits. Patent number 1093. And then again, on Veke Road, where they did the same thing. So in the Halelea Moku and throughout Hawaii, throughout Kauai especially, we have the same issue. So when Milton Ching comes in, he's hired from Nancy McMahon, the permitted archaeologist. Milton, from my own point of view, made decisions based exactly what Barbara said, on their na'au. When the Hyatt went down, when they were building by Kioni Loa Bay, my tutu vahine, Helen Lea vahine Haupu, she was down there carrying the Ivi. So Ivi Kupuna Kuleana is in our ohana. It's been in there for generations. And you're not going to find our ohana leaving Kauai for generations. But what I see and witness here is ignorance and indifference. And ignorance is just not knowing to the laws of the protection of our Ivi Kupuna. When you say property owner, again, when these people buy the property, they only hold what's called a warranty deed. They do not own our Ivi Kupuna. In a place like that called Kepuhi Point, if you look at the reef and you look at the area, when you're coming down Hanalei, you can see that that's the highest, or that point right there sticks out. You look at the reef and you look at the navigational pattern. It's pretty obvious as a cultural practitioner, you'll know that that's a burial site. When I walked that property, I specifically said, everywhere you turn, there's Ivi in there, pretty much. That's a burial site. What should have happened is to follow through on protocol. That's why there's laws in place. But again, you cannot keep stating that these people own the Ivi Kupuna. What the burial council needs to do is come together and figure out what's the next step. So mahalo.
Thank you.
Unbelievable. Was there anyone
in the phone?
I don't think so. I think that's it.
We just answered. You can say something.
Is there anyone else wanting to give testimony?
Paola wants to come on.
Excuse me?
Aloha, this is Paola Chan.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, this is Paula Chandler from Wailea Powerhouse Road. Can I say something?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Everybody's so quiet, that's why. I don't know if, you know. I just heard that you guys were having a meeting. And I wanted to put in my mana'o of what you know we're all human, you know what I mean, we're all human and we make mistakes, we make you know, but we have to look what is pono and what is correct to do with our kupuna, whether if but so what, if they are or if they are not. But I know those kupuna, Ivi over there, I know they know the family. I know they know the family. So if they know the family, then they have to be family. Olole?
Olole.
Correct? Okay, thank you. And, you know, my only ino-ino with this thing is that I cannot see the kukai next to them. I cannot. I cannot stomach that. Having that septic right next to them, I cannot. You know, and that is my i'ini, my na'au that is telling me. It's not my brain, it's not my lolo, it's not anybody else. It is my na'au that is telling me that the correct thing that needs to do is that Ivi comes first. Then the human come afterwards. And if we cannot be able to find a simple resolution for our kupuna, then we're all going to have a pilikia, hakaka, namu namu, and a hard time to do the things that we all love to do. So coming from Wainiha, you know, there's a lot of things that is going on and happening in Wailea. That is only a part right now. There's other issues that is going on in Wailea that has happened already. You know, I I come from a family of 16, 10 boys, 6 girls. My father had 16, my mom had 15. So before my mom met my dad, he was in the Philippines and he had a child there. And that is his eldest. So I want you, all of you guys, that is in the burial council to be pono with each other. You have to. You must. It's not a choice. This is what you have to do. Because why? My tutu mama told me. Because if you cannot be pono with each other, how can you be pono for the evil? We have to. This time in our lives here on Kauai, the world is on us. The world. And there's only a few of us here. There's not too many of us Kanaka Maoli that is on the North Shore. You can count them on your two fingers of the family. And oh my goodness. I know everybody's having a hard time, really hard time with this whole issue. We have to be the example for the rest of the moku, the rest of the chain of our Hawaiian Islands. We have to be the example. We have to show them that we hiki no, we can do and we can make things pono. And the TNK is not the owner of the evil, okay? It is the people of the place is the owner of that evil. We are the descendants. And like I told Chris before all of this shindig went down, I told him, if you not gonna make pono with our kupuna, with the evil, the family will come out and block you. And he told me, I did all the requirements. I did everything that I was supposed to have done. That's what he said. He did all the requirements. I said, I know you did all the requirements, but just listen to the people of this place, I told him. Listen to me what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you, Chris, is that it's not okay to put your septic next to the EV. It's not. Who in the world would do that to their own family, to put the kukai next to their family? Nobody. And you know what? Oh my goodness. I know this is stressful for all of you, but you know what? There is a light at the end of this whole thing. There is. We have to have faith with each other. I can feel that there's no faith for each other. There's no faith. And we're all Kanaka. Why is that? We don't have faith with each other. Because we're not agreeing with each other. That's why it's either my way or the highway. Cannot be like that. This is a kako thing. Everybody has to be involved. Everybody has to put the input. And you do not dig them out. You do not dig the kupuna that have been there for all these years. And now we're going to dig them out and remove them and put them where? On the borderlines of the properties? Some of them, we're going to put them on the end of the property? Aole. No. You leave them right there. We, the living, have to make adjustments to them. Not us. Not them make the adjustments for us. That's heva. Polole.
Polole.
Thank you. You know, I love all of you guys. I do. Even though if I don't know you personally, I love all of you guys. Auntie Barbara.
Hi.
Auntie Barbara, I love you.
I love you, babe.
I love you very, very much, Auntie. You know. Auntie Barbara.
Hi.
I want to be on the council.
I am not the boss. You need to go through the proper procedure.
Well, I asked you because you are my kupuna. You are my kupuna, and I asked you that is the correct way is to kahia to you, right, Auntie? To tell you. And then from there, I go through the, what you call it, Auntie? To the steps of to be on the burial council. I want to do good for our Evie. I do. And there's a lot of Evie ma hanale, loa in hanale. Loa, loa, loa. Ma nawe, loa Evie. Our whole island is Evie. Why right. All, why loa get nui ka Evie? Why loa? Nui ka Evie. Is it correct to dig them out and remove them from their resting place? Is that correct? Thank you, Barbara.
Paole.
So I want to be a help to the solution that is being ailing everyone.
We want
I want to be a help.
We like you to be on the council. You know, all you have to do is come.
And who's this? Who's this talking?
Kawilan.
Kawilan?
Kawilan.
Kawilan.
Yes.
Hi, Queen. Yes. Okay.
I believe what you're saying is all true. And, you know, there is quite a bit of, you know, paperwork that goes with that. And, you know, as we talking about descendants.
Queen, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Queen?
Yes.
Kayulani?
Yes.
Kawi?
Yes. Hello?
Take a second. Oh, hi, Queen. Hi,
hello.
Queen. Queen. Queen.
Hello.
Okay. You know, I am aloha. 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 Aloha.
Hello.
Aloha.
Hello.
Aloha.
Okay.
Aloha. 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 Aloha.
Hello.
Oh, aloha. Okay. Aloha. Oh, okay.
Okay.
You can hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. 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 You know, I was in an area where there were no function.
Oh.
So I found another area that had function.
Okay.
So now I'm on. You know, Kawi, we can do this, Kawi. We can.
I understand.
We can do right for not only us but for the Evie and even for the people
right,
who
right.
own who own their who say they own their property or whatever. You know what I mean, Queen? We can.
Yes.
But our kupuna, they have to come first. They've been last for centuries. They've been last for centuries. And we can do this. We can. We can look right for everybody. But our kupunas, they must come first. Because if not, we the one will get eaten.
You're right.
They're all eaten up. Eaten up by confusion and dislikes and rumors and whatever.
Yeah. Mahalo so much. Paola, also,
yes, sir.
Also, as you're saying all this, you know, I mean, we would love to have you on the council itself and come and apply for it, and we're going to try our best to get you on the council itself. At the same time, and this is going to the descendants. I mean, you know, there is paperwork that needs to be handed in so that they all of you can be recognized as that. And yeah, it's Paula Paula, but the thing is, that's how the law reads, and that's part of what we are under oath to have sworn in to help to apply these laws. And yes, we're trying to change it. And as you saw at the meeting in Hanalei, I mean, at Waipaa, when they were talking about changing the rules of this, and that's what it is. It's the laws, how the laws are read, that we can change that, but we can only, you know, we only have so much distance that we can go to do that, and we are trying our hardest to do that. I mean, I'm sure now how the interpretation is going to read with all that has come out right now, that it is going to be beneficial for the people, for our EV Kupuna.
Right.
At the same time, we in that transition still yet of trying to make that law, or trying to make that words come out, and so that it can read that, so that we don't have to go through this la 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 la, you know?
Right, Queen.
Have to
right.
go through like, that's your fault, you shouldn't have done this. Hey, it is done. And
yes, right.
Yeah.
But you know what, Queen? You guys have evolved so much. And I feel there is a movement towards forward for everybody. And my paper right now at this moment that we're talking, it is in progress.
Okay.
It is in progress.
Yes.
Uncle Milton helped me.
Yes.
And then I'm having my grandnieces help me to file it in to the board.
Great.
To the board.
And I
believe, you know, we can do miracles, Queen. We can do miracles, you know, because it is in us, Queen.
Right.
We have been given that by our kupuna, and we must utilize it to our highest ability for everyone.
That's exactly. Yes.
You know? And that's where I'm at, Queen. I'm at for our kupunas need to be malama, so we can be malama from them too.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way that we all have to see eye to eye, that's it, and we all have to accept each other's manao, and you know, not every time it's going to be puna. Like Auntie Helena Santos always tell me, "Eh, how are you today?" I tell her, "My kai," and she go, "Ah, I only my kai. You cannot make me my kai every day." And it's like, oh my goodness, Auntie, you're correct. I cannot be my kai every day. You know, I cannot.
Mahalo.
But we can try.
Yes.
And we can work on it. We can Mahalo. Pursue. We can go forward. You know, this whole thing is all about going forward.
Yes.
Because already, you guys have done everything already. Everything, you know what I mean? Everything is done. Now it's for something better and good and wonderful to happen for all of us. And
yes.
especially for our kupuna. Because if we, the living, cannot malama them, now when we make, who's going to malama us?
Right. Right.
And that is my concern, is that when I hala, who's going to malama us when we're gone?
That's right.
We have to make sure our generation is prepared for this, and we have to prepare it for them. We have to set them up so our generation can last for another 1,000 more years without having any heva happening to them.
Right.
And it is our responsibility to take care of all of these generational, personal things that is occurring and happening to each other. And we can. We yeah. have the Lord. We have Jesus on our side. He's with us. He's on our side. My tutu was a disciple of his.
That's
you know,
right.
She walked in her footsteps. She believed it to her last thing. She lost her toe from her toe, her ankle from her ankle to her knee, from her knees to her hips. And her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was right there.
And we are under reconstruction. So, you know, both our sides, as you look at it, you know, we're going to get to a greater, by having your testimony, we will get a greater point of understanding
yes,
the better. And
Queen, transformation is good.
Yes. Totally.
Transformation is good because we're all moving to the right vision, to the right thing that we all know that we need to final tune the laws so it can stay for another 1,000 more years to protect our culture and our people and us.
Right.
We know that it needs help. So that's why we have a big discussion among each other so we can bring out our mana'o and our ike and share among each other so we all can be inspired and see the wonderful vision for our culture. Because I tell you something, our culture is so beautiful. I don't know which culture in this world is beautiful like our culture.
That's right.
Our culture is so amazing spiritually, humanly, culturally, you know. We just have these stumble blocks that is holding us back, that we can endure all of these stumble blocks. We can endure. We have to eat it. We have to eat it up and spit it out and hold more forward and make fun of our EB. Because if we cannot make fun of our EB, how can we make fun of it with ourselves?
Right.
Paula.
Yes, Auntie.
Takashi will bring home application for you. Okay?
Okay, Auntie. Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
He has application to take home to you. Okay?
Mahalo.
Okay. Okay, so you're only bringing for me, Auntie?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Connor and Megan's one is Paul. Only me get left for this.
It's for you, okay?
Okay, okay, Auntie. I love you, Auntie.
Hello, folks. Oh,
I love you very much, you know.
Talk again later.
Okay.
Aloha. May I get a turn to share my mana'o?
Sure.
Hello. Aloha, my talk. Oh, may I share my mana'o?
Yeah.
Aloha, my kako o na kai elua velatora ko ui noa naka moku puni a kawaii ka moku o puna a ka ahu o pua o kalapaki. I wanted to share my mana'o. I was able to go to the aina in Kepuhi Wainiha to see the Iwikupuna and kind of get my eyes on the situation on that aina and try to support and kako'o as much as I can. And I color my if I get a little bit emotional. I believe that the burial council, because you guys are in this kuleana of upholding the protection of the malama of our Iwikupuna, I think that you guys need to fully understand that what we are at risk of. And what we are at risk of is the loss and the pain and the continuance of the trauma and the loss of the ike vaivai, the ike manawa of the kupuna. Because I understand, you know, a lot of people don't have the gift or the ability to be able to receive Ike from the spiritual side, that it becomes, they become just faceless, nameless bones or remnants of people. And I want to state that these are not nameless, faceless people. These are, in their time of living, they had a kuleana, they had ola, they had mana. And as mo'opuna, as ho'oilina, we need to understand that as kanaka maoli, now we have a kuleana to them to live, to continue to live their mo'olalo and be the example that our keikis, the hanauna that will be coming, the generations that are coming, that we will be the example for that. And one particular kupuna that I had picked up on that aina, unfortunately, his inoa hasn't come to me yet because he had, you know, forgotten himself. But one thing that he had remembered because of bringing his Eevee up and exposing it, you know, his uhane was very, very prominent in that aina, and he shared that do not let his sacrifice be in vain. And it really struck me very intensely because of my understanding of his essence, his mana, of what he wanted on that aina. And he wasn't upset that his Eevee, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about our kupuna. You guys have to realize that, especially if you're on certain sites, that they are just so willing to continue to sacrifice themselves for us. It is unbelievable that they continue to do that even in their path, in as they are back into the aina, that they continue to serve us when we should be serving them. And I want to speak true to what the kupuna shared and share his mo'olelo, that in his time that he survived a war and he fled the war to come to Kauai, and he ended up noho aina in Kepuhi in Wainiha to malama and protect the iwis that were already there. And his biggest thing was, when he shared with me, is him returning back into the aina so that he can continue his kuleana to malama iwi. And that should speak so much to how our kupuna were, and that the best thing as the burial council can do is to honor that, honor what the kupunas have shared, to be able to understand moving forward. All they want to do is, and the most puna thing to do is leave them in place. Whatever is foreign to our aina should not be leeching on them or affecting them in any way, and continuing to understand that our cultural practices, our Ike Hawaii, our Hana Hawaii, should reflect what our kupunas have done. And yes, you guys are upheld to an oath, but to what law is that? Because an understanding that these kupunas are not Native Hawaiians, they are not United States citizens, they are Kanaka Maoli, Kanaka Oiwi, from times before even our current kupuna or our closest kupunas. So an understanding that the laws that was in place from the time that they were wahala, that should be what protects them and what should keep them in the aina, because what we are risking is ike vai vai and manawa that will affect the next generations. And mahalo nui for letting me share my mana'o. I just hope that the right decisions are made and that we understand how important it is in the kuleana that you guys are in, the kulana that you guys are in, to make the best choices. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. Thank you. Okay. Is everybody okay?
Can I speak?
Sure, you are.
I'm Leilani Kalili Moku Kale Ohi.
Oh yeah, right on.
I should have been on the list decades ago when I submitted information, but I don't know, it must have got lost, I guess. My tutu, great-grandfather is Stephen Kilapa, great-grandmother, grandfather, great-great, kaho ohanohanopa with tutu wahine keleon wahine hele kioli lani milika apa kaho ohanohano. Grandmother is Carrie kelei hele lani pa kalili moku elia. She was in Wanini. And as a lineal descendant of this area, Tutu Wahine always did oli. I follow her spirit in the art of oli and lomi. And it is her voice that continues to resonate throughout that whole apua, from Kalalau to our ohana in Haena, and to our ohana in Mana. And I don't know why I'm rustling up. I think my kupuna like cry too, because they cry through me. We have a very strong, strong connection to our ohana. Tutu Wahine was a matriarch in her art. She was a grandmaster of oli and of healing arts and of many things. She was an icon in her community. So many of Na'ivi Kupuna in that area were touched by her, whether it be by oli, whether it be by thoughts, whatever it may be for her community to stay strong, to stay pa'a. That is what resonates anytime Arlesilinian descendants travel to that area or many areas throughout Kauai Nei. But in special, special that place there. And so when we do come upon people who may or may not have contributed to the desecration, to the damaging of that lineal, because they are alive, they are living still through us, with us, wherever they want to be. And so as you heard from cousin Paula and cousin the one that just spoke, I always forget names, I'm getting old. But I want to be back on the list. I want to be notified too. I cannot always come down, but I think that it is proper that we had, like Megan and Paula, thank you so very much for answering the kahea of our Iwi Kupuna and helping to protect. Now, we may or may not be polole with all of our protocols, and some of our protocols, the state protocols, Hawaii protocols, our family protocols, our kanaka protocols are at odds. So I would hope that we can continue to thrive together to improve this process so that it is not kaumaha for all of our ohana. It is not a severed, it's like cutting our toes off, our feet off. When we do this, and it is important that we find some way to be able to handle these protocols. As Paula said, we got to work together, please, because we are at a very dangerous situation of being extinguished, and we are not going to be extinguished. So that is my mana'o.
Okay. Leilani, are you talking about your lineal descendant papers or?
Yes.
Yeah, lineal descendant papers. That's what you did. You didn't
about
file.
20 years ago.
20 years ago.
Recent.
Okay.
That's so weird.
Any way we could resubmit it?
Yeah. I have to, I will.
Okay.
So what specific
area did you do the lineal descendancies for? I mean, yeah, when you applied for it.
Haena, Kalalau, and Mana.
Haena, Kalalau, and
Mana.
So that sounds like a culture.
Yeah.
So cultural.
My Kalili Moku Ohana resided in Mana. My as my grandfather's side. My grandmother's side said Haena and Kalala.
Okay, so you put it under cultural descendant, yeah?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We will see if we got that, but if you could resubmit that, that'd be awesome. We can probably send something out to you so you can resubmit some papers, or they'll try to find it. Okay.
I mean, and I understand. I understand. There's been a lot of influx. I'm not going to, you know, mahalo that we are at this point of revitalizing what we need to, so that we not have a lot of heva happen, where our ohana and those that we choose to be there to represent us are not given much pilikia, yeah?
Sure. Okay?
Okay.
Mahalo for your testimony. Thank you.
Okay.
Mahalo.
Thank you, and thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome.
I love you.
So, anyone else?
Yeah. Okay, we're gonna keep moving. We're gonna go to agenda item number 7, announcements. The next Kauai Niihau Island Burial Council meeting is Thursday, December 18, 2024, 9 a.m. at the Niihau State Office Building, second floor conference room, 3060 Aiva Street, Niihau, 9676. Is there any other business that the Burial Council would like to conduct? If not,
just wondering if Shifty could update the website. On the current members, super out of date.
Very out of date.
And out of that.
Clear. And I was also wondering if we could move to a shared drive for documents, like a secure shared drive, instead of all these emails going out to other personal emails. If it's a shared drive, we can all have access to the drive, rather than, I feel like it's more secure than somebody's email. That's just like, and possibly getting a speaker if we're going to do Zoom and a projector.
Anything else? So many other Burial Council members?
Oh, I think there's actually one more update. On website, it says Waimea Napadi.
Right.
On the agenda, it says Napadi. Some other paperwork says Waimea. So I think
that we need to clarify that.
Clarify if it is indeed still
Napadi,
Waimea, or is it something? And where the marks are.
Yeah.
Is it
changed because it went to Koloa instead of Puna.
Right, so.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get calls.
Yeah.
When I receive the call, I go, wow, is that my jurisdiction?
Kind of. Yeah.
So maybe try to delineate where the lines are.
Nancy?
So the line used to be for the traditional district. So it would be Nothing has ever changed. There's no rules or change that I know.
And now it's like
Regina, right now, it's still the traditional districts,
correct? Except when it gets listed.
Yeah.
So I know that Oha had a meeting and they had wrong. They were giving
everything is wrong.
The screen needs is why we end up on the ship new website. Why we end up on this is Koloa, which is not
so Bruce is your landlord. So you have one vacant.
No, Bruce is the evil.
Or the
e-house.
So then you have two landowners.
It's open.
Those are
two
open and
could
be
home. Right. Well, this is so. These are how it's listed. So, large landowner, Waimea Napadi, large landowner or developer, e-house, large landowner, developer, which is vacant. Those three are vacant. Then there's Koloa, which it's not a mole. There's Kalaiha, which is not a mole. And Hanalei is not a mole. But it's listed as Koloa, Kalaiha, Hanalei, and Nigeria. I was wondering.
It just all needs to be updated.
Only Oahu doesn't really follow the system either.
Yeah.
So if we could just either change it or figure out what is his.
I think it was always separate. It was always a plug.
I also like Shifty needs to step up to make and be more a part of these meetings. I think that is a failure of the last 2 years, that there's no communication, information flying all over the place, and that causes so much problems within the community and for the face of their council members. Shifty needs to really strengthen himself in their position as. I mean, we all know it rolls downhill, so if it's not good at the top, how is it expected to be good down here?
I will say that with Dr. Downer's departure, we had a series of rotating administratorships that were 1 month long, and we found that that was extremely challenging to get any type of business handled, any consultation in a meaningful way, even started or acted upon. So now we have an appointed administrator, Jessica Puff, and she's our appointed administrator from here forward. So under her leadership, we are really stronger now than we were during the rotating administratorship. We also have collaborative relationships in our office physically, like now that we're regularly there, at least on Oahu, we're able to collaborate a lot more on projects and coordinate responses, review each other's coordinated response, and provide feedback in real time. And then also, we're pretty active in consultation on Oahu. I don't know what it looks like typically for Hawaii, but for Oahu, we're pretty active on
consultation. What do you mean by active consultation?
We have like regular standing meetings with agencies and with, for example, the Board of Water Supply. We have standing meetings with HART as well, and DTS, standing meetings with the Department of Transportation. So those kinds of ongoing monthly, in fact, I think there might be bi-monthly meetings. And then we do have a staff meeting twice a month just to kind of go over the projects that we're reviewing and coordinating.
What is your history and culture branch chief right
now? Our current history and culture branch chief is Kea Kalpito. He is a burial site specialist on Hawaii Island.
And he's not just standing, he's...
We haven't recruited anyone. We haven't even opened the position as far as I know. And he not only has been retired...
That can be part of a big part of the problem.
Yeah. So in the beginning of 2024, we had an interim appointment that was supposed to go until April. And then we had Kale for April into what should have been June. And then there was like some communication errors and differences in administrative appointments and stuff. So we had a little bit of a rough patch in the middle of this year. But Jordan is now at Kale. Is now our interim French chief. At least until, I don't know if he's on the meeting. He might be on the meeting. He's our interim French chief, I think, up till the beginning of 2025.
Because I see that is a big part of the problem with council, with community. Because the hierarchy that you guys have is not stable. And that needs to be stable. And the president is always going to be the president until he gets votes out and the new president.
Exactly.
But every time these people's seats change, it's not helpful for anybody.
Yes.
Who's trying to get things done.
How involved is our Kauai person supposed to be, our Kauai Bureau cultural session?
as involved as we would expect from any other of our history and culture burial site specialists. So I know she's on leave currently. So I can't I do anticipate though that I will be back in December for the KNIBC meeting that's scheduled. And okay. Instead of the second floor, like it indicates on this agenda, we'll have it in this room again.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not different. The right floor.
Well, I guess one more question for you. So we had a changing of the guard. So is that effective today?
Just temporary. It's just meant to be temporary, at least with regard to me facilitating the KNIBC meetings. Yeah. I know today I said I definitely committed to today, and I also committed to December. We at least have December.
Well, as far as the chair.
Well, what about our, this for the Kuwait Bureau?
Yes, I'm sorry. The chair and vice chairship
today.
Effective today.
Congratulations.
Wow.
I have a question for you guys. Can I ask a question? This is Roslyn Cummings. I submitted a lot of paperwork and documents in the past few years. Did you guys ever receive my application for any lineal descendancy?
Never.
Never.
But so, in other words, it never reached. So, I mailed it out to Alan Downer, who sent it back to Kotonoi. So, are you saying that I need to resubmit those documents because they're not there anymore?
No, I don't think that's what we're saying. I think that was regarding the previous testifier.
Stacey Nyples made a statement that she cannot find any of my documentation in SHPD.
Okay, I will check on that and I'll get back to you.
Okay, and then another question. Did any of you guys get a notification that 3 weeks ago they cracked the cave burial system over in Koloa? Behind Big Save?
No.
Okay, so I filed a complaint 2 weeks ago because one of the construction workers came forward that there's a cave system behind Koloa at the four-way of Weli Weli and Waikomo. And of course, he wanted to be not known, but they said that when they look inside the cave, it's underneath the four-way and it's big. So I did make a complaint, but I was wondering if they notified Burial Council.
They would notify SHPD first. They would notify first.
So now it's 3 weeks this week. So you, how long do you think it takes for them to do that process?
That's a good question.
But Kowanoi is on leave. So if she's on leave, then who else do we address?
It would probably be David or Kea. David's our archaeologist for Kauai, but Kea is our branch chief.
Okay, I'll go ahead and put pressure on them. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question about my descendancy forms?
Sure.
I was trying to, okay. So this is Megan Wong again. We were trying to work together with Kutwanoi. And she said she was going to help us with that, but then I guess she got spooked and she ended up falling off. So Paula and I, we all had to get it figured out. So anyways, on the form that Auntie Barbara is sending to for Paula, we have the form printed and Paula already has it. We already have that. And Uncle Milton had some things too, but on there, it's a little confusing because it looks like specific as a lineal descendant and we're claiming cultural. Now, it only says Hanale. It doesn't break down Hanale Haena Wainiha. So if you're claiming cultural descendant, you can claim cultural descendant for Hanale, but you go all the way out to Haena. Only because I've done mine in a breakdown of my kupuna with the documents attached that go Haena one, Wainiha one, and then Hanale another. Is that the way that, I don't know if that's SHPD or Burial Council reviews it first, but is that the form you want to see it in, or you just want to see one application for Hanale and that covers that whole area?
You can do either one application or multiple applications. It's really at your discretion. And then if Shipkey needs more information, we'll request more information.
Okay. So I have, we basically have our applications ready for burial council for Pa'ula, for myself, and for Kona coming in. And then we also have our descendancy for Kalalau to Hanalei. And I broke them down into separate applications, if that's helpful. I just didn't know if that's how they get reviewed, because I've heard of so many people that don't get response. So I just wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing.
So when you do apply, then it goes to Shifty first. And then, yeah, it goes to Shifty first because they have to check all the details to it. And then when it clears Shifty, then it comes to us.
Okay. And then how does that work? As we hear lineal descendants say they hadn't been reached out to. So in a perfect world, when a burial is discovered, would that be Burial Council that would reach out to the known lineal descendants, or is that SHPD that is supposed to reach out to them?
It's normally SHPD, because SHPD is the point of notification. Typically, it is SHPD that reaches out to the lineal descendants. I believe we have a list that's pretty much of lineal descendants, at least for the Pai Aina. I don't know about specific Hawaii, Apua, or even Moku. I would have to double check that. Go ahead.
Sorry. At the meeting, it sounded like there were 8 known for the area, but I didn't get clarification that any of them had been reached out to and given counsel. So that's what I was trying to figure out. Where can we do better? What has been missed? As we report things, we think or thought, or even have told that we've reached out to all the right entities during that One One property, because that's not our first. Yeah, this is like, we've been doing this for years, and this is the only one that we really bucked heads with, where they did the thing that really was really, really bad. But we worked with the county and we worked in other situations. But I just am wondering, as we learn, how do we do better to notify or find out from, because we just happen to, we don't get to all, this was a big one, but we don't get to all. So this one we found out about, but there's many that we don't. So even the ones that we know, and we know descendants have not been reached out to, it makes me a little leery that maybe descendants are not being reached out, period. So that's why I'm asking the question, is that if there is a protocol in place, it was missed. And I never got the answer at the meeting, like why or how it was missed.
Usually the protocol would be to call the police department. They then go and call Shifty, the archaeology, or they come and look and claim whatever, and then we get notified. Of course, it will be, the coconut wireless is like, you call the cops and then they get a hold of Shifty. Of course, then you call the burial, whoever the burial council person is in that area. You usually would do that and coconut wireless way. And then the burial council person would contact Shifty as well to make sure that they had the contact, but as you were hearing throughout our meetings that, we didn't have a meeting. And so the communications during that time that in the last 2 years have been very sketchy. And so because of that, now we're in total, everybody's in total confusion. So I would say you're doing it right. The county, get a hold of county, go to Shifty, then get a hold of a burial person in that area. Then they can double check on that. But, that's would be your, the protocol you could go through to have a little more claim to what you're doing. And again, Shifty should have all your papers in line, if that's, whether it's a cultural descendant or a lineal descendant, they should have that all in line so that they have a list already that they have, you know, that is on there. So I would say that would be your application of doing it.
So we were on with Ka'uanoi all throughout this these months and texting her back and forth about it and asking her about descendancies and if the descendants are being reached out to. She acknowledged that Pa'ula is a known lineal descendant but without an application, but she wanted our applications to come through. But I asked her about the others that have already been submitted years before and what the process was. So I thought I was reaching out, but maybe I'll reach out to Ken the next time around because obviously something went wrong.
There was quite a bit of changes that happened in Shifty as well. So, you know, like, and they're reconstructing themselves as well. So, yeah, I would say you can reach out to Kay if you want to. Yes.
Yeah, I would definitely second that. I mean, I would say reach out to Kay. I believe his email is jordan.calpito@hawaii.gov. I will have to double check that.
Yeah, I do have it, and I have the phone number contact, and he's been great at responding. I actually have the Harada twins. They are the point person because I couldn't do all of this. So they are the ones that are in contact with Kea and relay the messages and information. So he's been great at that since we've made connection to him.
Yeah.
Can I say something? Hello?
Yes.
Leilani kali, kalini moku kali ohi. The last burial treatment plan that I have for you folks is 1996. And on the very back is the partial genealogy for descendants of Hanohanopa of Haena. I am going to update that because it's very slim. It doesn't have nearly as much. We are a huge family. And so when I submit my lineal descendant or cultural descendant, I don't know which one, I'm going to submit this genealogy that includes, and then it needs to be expanded more for current descendants like Pa'ula and many more, many, many more. So if you don't mind, I'll be sending, I don't know where I need to send my application. I'll figure that out. But this is needs to be badly updated. Seriously, if you guys are still going by the 1996 treatment plan.
That's all.
You could send it to the State Historic Preservation Division. And, okay. Is the Kakuiheva building 601? Can we send a link out to them? Or 601 Kamukila.
So, yeah. Maybe we'll just send a link on the Zoom.
We're going to send a link on the Zoom.
Okay. Okay.
That you need to go and have that sent to. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because this is part of the problem that is it hardly shows any of the family at all. And I just want to make sure that we are in, yeah, up to date.
And just remind yourself as you're doing that, attention, this is a Kauai island, yeah?
Right.
You know, so that they know you're talking about Kauai island.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. You.
I'm one of the genealogists for my family, right, my on particular branch, but I have many others as well.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
She has a question.
Okay.
Once she's done.
Do you pass out?
Thank you for being here, Regina.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Were we out?
No.
just almost like a couple of years.
I have a question before we close and before I got to go back to work. I've been jumping in and off. And my question is to the bear console again, and it is how much on a percentage would you say EV is found per month? How many days of the month? I'm sure, I know it varies because of the projects, but how often would you say?
Excuse me, what is this question?
The question is just for the barrel council in general, for the island of Kauai, how often is EV found? Is it once a week, once a month? I know it varies, but just on average, would you say?
We don't want an
one.
We don't have an average.
Just a rough number. You think, you know, this past year, how many EV sites would you say in 1 month that you guys found? 50 or 100?
I'm going to say that's a question for Shifty, which, they notify us. So,
I just was asking you guys generally, because my follow-up question to that would be, why no burial council meeting for 2 years? Why no burial council for 2 years? We're not in COVID. And even if we were in COVID, we could have Zoom. My point is, with all of the 2 years, you never meet, though, right?
Yes.
I heard that in the beginning of this meeting. For 2 years, you guys haven't. So what is the excuse for 2 years you guys not meeting with the EV that's been coming out of the ground? Your guys' position and the reason for sitting on the barrel council to protect EV Kupuna, correct?
You can ask Shifty.
So if you... I'm not talking about Shifty. I'm talking about you guys as a burial council. There hasn't been any meeting with you guys, you said, for 2 years.
We cannot meet without quorum.
So with how?
So you need five people on the
quorum. So right now it's four.
Excuse me?
So right now there's five people.
Yes, today.
So right now there's five people.
Yes, today.
Oh, so today is just adds one more person. Come on.
What?
Who is the fifth person?
We didn't hear you.
Who is the person that came on today?
Oh, no. We've just got a quorum. We have... we've had...
So again, my question is, why not in 2 years? That's my question. How come no? With all of the EV Kupuna that's been exposed, you guys need to have a quorum. The job of the Barrel Council and SHPD is to malama EV Kupuna. And the only way to do that is if everybody's talking story. So from now on, we have to push for that. You guys' seats, if SHPD is not doing it, push them to do it. Because without that, then you guys cannot organize, right, to make good decisions on behalf of what your position requires. Everybody's doing their own thing, and then two or three people are making decisions. And I can't see that being a functioning body. That was one of the big things that came up at the meeting in Honolulu. It was like, we're sorry. It hasn't been functioning, you know? So we need to do better. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. This is Regina Hilo from the State Historic Preservation Division. I can't speak specifically to KNIBC, but I do facilitate the Oahu Island Burial Council meetings as well. And that council has had issues meeting regularly for over 8 months now. We just had our first meeting for a number of months. Last week. So I don't want to say it's a common problem. It is an issue that we should be working more proactively to address with regard to OIBC and all IBC, all Island Burial Council memberships, to ensure that we have more than the minimum number of members required to meet for an operative quorum. With that said, we have had changeover, a lot of changeover in our administration. Like I mentioned earlier, we now have a permanent administrator, and we're making progress to work with OHA on Island Barrel Council applications, applicants, and put forward nominations in OHA, and then also to the governor's office in advance of the opening of LEDGE in January. So with that in mind, we're hoping that we will have operative forums for all of our councils. Right now, Maui Lanai, I believe, is the only one with more than the minimum number of members required to meet for an operative forum. So I can't speak to like what happened for the past 2 years, but we are working on getting fully functioning Island Barrel Councils that can meet regularly to handle business, address community concerns, and provide notifications on inadvertent discoveries. Way about it. And if anybody has any questions, you can reach out to me. My email is super easy. It's regina.hilo@hawaii.gov. And if Jordan or Kea is on the meeting too, he is my grad chief. Mahalo.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think my question was in regards to the lengthy absence of our meetings. So when I went to the Senate confirmation, it voted on House Bill 1529. So 1529 states that Section 26-34, that any council member whose term has expired may continue in office as a holdover member until the member's reappointment for a second term is confirmed or its successor is nominated and appointed, provided that the holdover member shall not hold office beyond the end of the fourth regular session. So my question is that I was a holdover, but I was told that I couldn't sit on a by the first session. So we could have met for the past
2 years.
2 years,
yes,
with quorum, but we were told that we're not by the very council when this law is in place. So I just wanted to reconfirm.
Yeah, that would answer his question.
And it was Act 123.
Yeah, that was a recent passage in the last legislative session. I think specifically written to avoid this type of situation.
So my thing said hold over, but I was told that I couldn't continue. So I was a little concerned on the reasoning why we were told, and we were said it confirmed, but we were still told that we couldn't sit as a holdover until we signed in the vote. So I don't know if it's a internal conflict or if it's what it is. I mean, I don't want to put anybody on a hot seat, but I feel that the very specialist had something to do with that for us not being able to.
I think it was an internal communication issue and maybe a misinterpretation that wasn't consistent across our branch too.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to double check that. So in that case, I don't know if Auntie in your fight, were in your fight, were you turning out?
She turned out.
So it turned out as for she got to be up.
Yeah.
So hers was what?
Mine's gonna
come and she, up. Hers is coming up. Boy, turn out.
Terminal.
So I just wanted to.
It hasn't been, but you know, Shippy, this is where it needs more strength in your guys' process. And that is why I believe that there's nobody wants to step up to this thing. Because how do you step up to something that doesn't support you?
Right.
And it's broken from the top. The top is broken, so it collapses all the way down.
There's no consistency.
No.
And it makes it really difficult. You're told
this is what we do. It's okay. And it's not anything personal to me, Regina. It's the state in the hierarchy of what needs and supposed to happen under the laws. So, you know, if anybody, they should be there to fight and defend and protect these laws. So all these things that fall under the laws are protected within that whole realm.
And the other thing too, you know, we're serving as volunteers. We get abused, verbally and sometimes otherwise. And so when Shifty's not there to support us, makes our jobs really difficult.
You really lose face in the community.
You do.
Live. Yeah.
Wait, I got this up to the church.
Well,
I was like, hey, that.
I mean,
no, sorry.
No, but this is the reality of
it. It is a reality.
I mean, you know, it is a reality. And, you know, some support would be greatly appreciated. And if we can't get it on the island level, then it needs to come from someplace else. It really does. And if we can't get the support, then why are we here? That is my question. Why are we here? We can't do our jobs. We can't do it alone.
Yeah, Shifty is supposed to provide administrative support to ensure that you guys are fully operational. And definitely we have failed in that duty to provide
correct
that support, both in terms of generation of notifications, when there are inadvertent discoveries, and ensuring that our lists of lineal descendant contacts are updated and provided to each of the Barrel Council members. I think, at least for me, one of the biggest takeaways is that we need to be sure that our lists of cultural and lineal descendants is updated and can be vetted by all of you guys.
Yes.
And then also, if there are additional people, whether they've gone through the recognition process or not, we can reach out to them if they're willing to come to us and go through that process. We're happy to speak with them or to provide applications, provide support for applicants to fill out those applications, anything that is needed in terms of community engagement and outreach. That way we can be more proactive in addressing these types of issues before they even come to the KNIBC.
Thank you. Our factions should be working together, not be divided on this. I mean, really. I'm sorry.
So my other question is, so when they turn in the application, does it go to Kauanoi for approval, or does it go to Oahu?
If it's a physical application that's sent to our Oahu office, normally I will scan it and then I'll send it to Kauanoi.
So it's her decision whether the application goes on or not? Because that's kind of our problem on Kauai, that it has not left her desk onto our desk.
Oh, I see it.
And there's no movement.
And it's only certain people that don't move on.
I mean, as you can see, you heard a couple of people already say, where is my
papers? Tired of that certain people's ones move and certain people's ones don't move based on whatever personal relationship.
No.
To me, all of them should move and then we should vote on it.
All of it should be accepted and then treated equally.
I mean, one of the main persons that I know that's been, I've been here for a while, is... Bowson has been, how much time she applied? Why is never, it has never come.
Never come to.
This is Kale.
Oh, here's Kale.
Hi, sorry. I've been in and out of, I was sitting simultaneously in different meetings, but they've all finished all my other meetings. And so I did hear some of the discussions throughout the meeting. So for the descendancy claims, we're going to enforce, I don't want to say adopt a new process. We're going to enforce a new or our current process in that when descendants apply, in the past, you know, we have, if they didn't have sufficient information for us to give them either lineal or cultural, we would send them a letter letting them know to send us additional information. I think what we'll start doing instead is, you know, the administrative rules give us 30 days to either make a recommendation, whether that recommendation is lineal, cultural, and, you know, if we cannot make a recommendation at the time because we need more information. However, you know, the descendants should also always have the opportunity to provide that testimony, their testimony to the council. So even in instances where a descendant could not demonstrate sufficient information to connect themselves lineally or culturally to Evie, you know, we'll send them a letter letting them know that more information is needed, but at the same time, we'll also let them know if they want to move forward and have their application go to council with a recommendation that more information is needed, they can choose to do that so that the council ultimately has the decision on whether or not they want to recognize the applicant. So again, even if more information is needed by SHPD and the applicant does not want to, either does not want to or cannot provide additional information, we will still submit that recommendation to the council, letting the council know that SHPD's recommending deferral pending additional information. However, the council ultimately decides whether or not you guys want to recognize the applicant as a descendant. And by I think by doing this, you know, it, again, not everybody will always get the recommendation they want by SHPD depending on the information they submit, but they at least have the fair opportunity to present their testimony to the council for you guys to decide whether or not you want to recognize them.
Thank you. Mahalo.
I did want to add an additional comment about meetings. So I did hear Regina, there might have been some misinterpretation of, you know, our 6E and administrative and Sunshine Law guidelines on when a council can meet in the past from staff. So, you know, in the past, there was this kind of, I guess, misconception that if there was an anticipated lack of quorum, a council meeting needed to be canceled. With several discussions with the OIP, the Office of Information Practices, and, you know, our AGs, I don't think it's not required for a chair to cancel a meeting with an anticipated lack of quorum. And so from this point forward, another change that SHPD will start practicing is if we do have an anticipated lack of quorum, and by anticipated, I mean, you know, 2 weeks before a meeting, we normally do a quorum check asking which members can attend and which ones cannot. If we know, say, for instance, the KNIBC has 5 members right now, if we know one person cannot make the meeting because they have a prior obligation, we now have an anticipated lack of quorum. But if a member doesn't respond, that's not necessarily anticipated. We would give, you know, the benefit of the doubt to the member that they may show up at the meeting. But even with an anticipated lack of quorum, we will send an email to the chair with 3 options. One would be to continue the meeting as scheduled. However, if at the meeting there is no quorum, the meeting needs to be quote unquote canceled. When a meeting is canceled due to a lack of quorum, the IBC or the KNIBC in your case can still opt to receive public testimony, but the council members cannot deliberate, discuss, or vote on any items. The second option would be to reschedule the meeting for another date for that month. So say for the December meeting, if nobody can make it on, I don't know the meeting date on the top of my head, we'll just say December 20th. If a member can't make it on December 20th, we can propose the 21st to see if everybody's available. The third option would be to cancel the meeting and postpone till the following month for January. So we will give the chair those 3 options for the chair to decide on how they would like to proceed. That way, You know, again, it gives you guys an opportunity for you guys to decide, and not for Shipti to decide, but for the council to decide whether or not they would like to have a meeting. I think one of the downsides is that when there is no quorum, you know, sometimes some members don't want to meet if there's no quorum because they cannot vote, or sometimes the community might get upset if they're coming for items that need to be voted on, and you know, I guess sometimes they take off of work and the item can't get voted on. But again, we will leave that up to the chair on whether or not they want to proceed with the meeting as scheduled, even though there's an anticipated lack of quorum. Something we might be able to do is if that is the decision of the chair, we can maybe give a heads up that there may be a lack of quorum. But I again, we want to make sure that the council has that power to decide whether or not they want to meet. And again, for descendants, we want to make the council and the applicants have the opportunity to decide whether or not the council wants to recognize applicants or not. So those are two changes that Shipti is going to start practicing from this point forward.
Mahalo.
I also have a quick question. So say one of our members cannot be in person. Can that person Zoom in, or is that not allowed?
That's allowed. So another thing we're trying to do with all the councils throughout the state is to make sure we have this Zoom component available. So during COVID, you know, we did strictly Zoom. When the governor's proclamation ended, that Zoom was not required anymore, and that councils were able to meet again. Some of the councils went back to just meeting in person. But during this time, Zoom has always, or since that time, Zoom has always remained an option. So for a Zoom meeting, the law requires that there needs to be a physical location for the board and for members of the public to attend in person if they choose to. So the meeting we're having right now wouldn't necessarily be considered an in-person meeting. The meeting we're having right now is considered a Zoom meeting, and you guys are at the physical location. So council members can choose whether or not they want to attend in, and the public. But council members can choose whether or not they want to attend the meeting in person or via Zoom. One of the requirements with Zoom meetings, though, is that the council members need to be visible on cameras. So if you guys do attend via Zoom, you know, you would have to turn your cameras on. You don't have to allow the public to you know, attend your meeting location, meaning, you know, if you're going to Zoom in from home, you don't have to allow the public to attend from your home. That's what the physical location is for any members or anybody from the public that wants to attend in person. They can do so at the conference room you guys are in now.
And then, is there any possibility in changing the quorum laws to possibly doing quorum based on the filled position rather than on the available positions? Because right now we're having a super hard time finding large landowners, or is it possibility to change large landowners to regional representatives in place of large landowners? Because right now large landowners are hard to find, and those are the vacant positions except one follower.
Yeah, so I know that's a topic that's been brought up recently. I think we've spoken to OHA about it. I've spoken to there's been several that have brought up that question, and so I'm not 100% sure whether or not that requires a statutory law change or an administrative rule change. I know right now it says that the quorum is determined in the administrative rules, meaning I don't think anything in Chapter 92 specifically states that quorum is a majority of members that the board is entitled to. So right now, all the burial councils, with the exception of Molokai, are entitled to 9 members. Therefore, quorum would be 5. That's written in the administrative rules, that a majority of members that the board is entitled to. So I'm not 100% sure at what level that needs to be changed, but I do know that issue is being discussed, and that we are looking to see how we can fix that.
Okay. If one of us is missing, then
right. We need that changed.
And one more thing to add on to that with the large landowner rep. So what I've seen in the past is, you know, what might happen is, or I'll give you guys an example here on Hawaii Island. You know, we've had 2 kona rep, we've had 2 ka'u reps, we've had 2 hamakua reps. And so what might happen is sometimes if there's an additional applicant for the geographic seat that is already occupied, meaning we already have somebody in the ka'u seat, but now we have another applicant who also applied for ka'u, and we don't have any applicants for the large landowner seat. We've occupied the large landowner seat to put in an additional geographic rep. And so I don't know how that's triggered, but I guess what I want to say is, if there are applicants who want to sit in a seat that's already occupied, I would still encourage them to just submit their application to boards and commissions for review.
All right. That sounds good. Good to know. Yeah. Because then we can, that's what. All right.
Hold on. Yeah. There's a question on here from Paula. So it's about the large landowners, and maybe you can just answer it, because she's getting hot over here about that.
Oh, sorry. What was the question?
The question was, why does the large landowner own our kupuna? Our kupuna hippie? It shouldn't be like that, right, Queen? They shouldn't have a say of our kupuna, that they have the right to say what we can do with them. That is not correct, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the large landowner seats were written into the law that way. I'm not sure why it was written into the law. It was just, you know, it wasn't anything that Shipti. It's not a policy that Shipti currently decides on. You know, it's written that way. I think it would take, again, statutory change to fix that.
I think that is in progress, right? In our next ledge session, you know, that is in progress. Next ledge session.
How do we go to the legislature and take that mana'o off from the big landowners, that they have the authority to do as they please with the EV without consenting the people of the plains or the descendants of the plains? They shouldn't have a say in this. Because they already have a say in the land. Why are they having a say within our EV? And who is the one that governs that whole mana'o? Is it Shipti?
Our senators.
Is it Shipti? Our senators. Who is our senators? Who's that? Who's
Kochi, yeah. And you know, you can draft the bill. I mean, that's what. And right now, I mean, I do believe that OHA is working on that, and it will be with the OHA working group, and it should be submitted this January. There was lots of things submitted on the last legislation, and this is how we are at this point right now. So it's coming around the corner. Let's put it that way, okay?
But call your senator.
But call your senator, because that's the one that would help with that bill.
Queen, you are correct. We are moving forward, right?
Yeah.
We are moving forward with everything, and I love it because now things are being revealed, so we can do what is porno for the things that is not porno.
Right.
You know, for our kupuna. And only then, when we malama our kupuna, we're going to be malama too.
Right. Malama.
So I applaud Kochi. When is the time for votes for Kochi?
The next election.
When is that?
He's on island today.
He's on island today? Oh, I thought he moved away. No.
Oh no, he stayed. He live in Lihui.
Okay. Well, Kochi, malama au kupuna.
Yeah.
Malama au kupuna, Kochi. Ma, if not, oh my goodness.
Okay, it's lunch
time. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, any more questions
for the
business
to discuss?
Yeah. Is Kale are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I have a question, Kale.
Yeah.
When it comes to, you know, the word inadvertent, yeah. But that is only decisions that's pretty much made by the state versus previously known. Can there be any change to that so that burial council has a say on what you guys call inadvertence? Because right now, the way the law stands is that anything that is inadvertent, the decision is solely done by the state, and then sometimes they will confer with the burial council, single member of that MOCU. But more than normal, it's usually done under the state's ruling. Why can't inadvertence come forth from a burial council? As long as, along with all other, you know, previously knowns, because to me they're all previously knowns. But the word inadvertent pretty much gives the state a little more leverage to make decisions outside of the realm that people should be transparent to all community members.
Yeah. So the process for inadvertent discoveries would. So first, the process for inadvertent discoveries would require both statutory change and rule change. So 6E 43.6 is the law that that raises inadvertent discoveries, and 13340 and 13300 in general is what defines inadvertent discovery. And so to change the process of inadvertent discoveries would at least require rule change, but may, depending on what the outcome is, may also require statutory change. In terms of the consultation, it for every inadvertent, determinations should be done in consultation with the geographic rep at minimum. We also put the inadvertent discovery on the next burial council agenda to notify the council and to essentially consult on what SHPDI did or will be doing, and to gather their thoughts.
And I hear what you're saying, but then it's not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't take place here. Our meetings in the past years that I've been sitting on council, that does not happen here.
You know, there's an example for the past, what was it, month? There's a lot of people that surfaced.
They are not on our agenda for today for discussion. They were not put on our agenda. The only inadvertence was just one. Only road. None of the others are on here. So again, who makes the decision?
So yeah, I can work with staff to make sure that, you know, all the inadvertents are coming up on the agenda for notification. You know, and in the interim, you know, if you folks know of inadvertent discoveries that do come up, you know, you can send me an email and I can you know, make sure that they'll be on the next meeting.
Not to be disrespectful, but for us, it's been 2 years since we've had a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That time, I have re-interned multiple Ibi Kupuna. So, where is the listing? There's one Ibi Kupuna that I re-interned in my area. I removed him. I didn't have a choice. He never came up for me to re-intern him. He was turned over to Ship D. I never received him again to re-intern him. He was from my area, from my district. So I guess it's one of my questions. Where are they?
It's a paperwork.
And of course, the bike path, that's another one. There are many unanswered questions here on board about what happened to our people. So, you know,
that's a big story.
Just wondering.
Okay, yeah. If you want to send me a list of if you want to send me a list of, you know, the EV that.
A list that the archaeologist that's stationed here on our island should be having and sending it to you?
They may have a list. And so, yeah, you know, I don't want to use this as an excuse, but I'm not too familiar on, you know, everything that's transpired on Kauai over the last 2 years. You know, I've only recently come into the branch chief position, and so I am trying to figure out what the problems are so that we can fix it. And you know, I will reach out to our Kauai staff to, you know, what I can ask them is, you know, if they can provide me with the inadvertent discoveries that they've responded to, and you know, a status update on any of those situations. And but at the same time, if there's any in particular that you know, that you have concerns with, I can make sure to reach out to them to ask specifically what is the status of those of the EV that were found for any situations that you have.
We did find one. You know, maybe it was about 4 months ago, and then we had called David Buckley,
mm-hmm.
and he took the EV, but we never found out what he did with him, and we wanted to, you know, put it in its own, you know, and canoe him back, you know, and we were told that EV came from Kalalau area. Or Honopu, and but I've never heard of anything coming back. I've asked, and you know, they just said, I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, what I'll do is I'll ask them. I'll reach out to them and ask them for reports on the inadvertent discoveries they did, and I can put them on the agenda for the next month as updates, so that you know, the KNIBC can be provided with on these inadvertent discoveries.
All right. Do you have anything else, guys?
We could hear all day.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, yes, Bruce.
As he was reading out all the different things on the 92-3, what he was saying doesn't match what's in here.
Oh, that's what he was doing. Yeah, 92-3. Oh, wait, no.
Okay.
No. Oh, okay.
This is in the back of our agenda.
Oh, the back of the agenda.
Okay. But some of the things that he was saying constructivist.
Kale, do you have our agenda on you? Yeah.
I can.
Okay, there's a second page attached to it where it states this is 92-3.
Okay.
Okay, what was the question now?
So you have your to provide Zoom and video testimony and how it's to be done, and what he said there doesn't match this.
He's saying what you said doesn't match what is written. Is that correct,
Bruce? So, yeah. Yeah. So I think our chair needs to have the full text. This is obviously something being condensed.
Yes.
And how are you going to follow it? You don't have the whole thing.
Right.
Sorry. So on the second page, we're looking pursuant to 92-3 HRS, all interested person. We're looking at that sentence.
Yeah.
All interested persons shall be afforded an opportunity to present oral testimony or submit data, views, or arguments in writing on any agenda item. Okay, so I'm sorry, what was the question on that?
He said that what you said and what is written there, it doesn't jive or doesn't coincide with.
Yes, what's in here, he was saying it has to have a picture, video picture, but it doesn't say that here. Your Zoom does not have to have a photo.
Oh.
It just doesn't match.
He said what did you hear what he said?
Kind of, but sorry, if you could repeat it for me. I heard him say it doesn't match regarding the Zoom.
What you stated.
Uh-huh.
Match with what's in here. It says to provide video Zoom testimony. It says nothing about having to have a visual contact, but you said there must be a visual contact.
Mm-hmm. What are you saying?
Yeah.
So there are just discrepancies in here that I think need to be cleared up.
I believe he's referring to that you said that I'm trying to clarify this, that you said that if it's when we're having a meeting that we, the member, yeah, the board member has to have that physical picture available so that they can see you.
Mm-hmm.
But in the statutes that we read right now, what we're reading, it doesn't coincide with what you said because it doesn't say that we have to have it a picture. Or is that correct? I mean, I'm just trying to clarify that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So if you give me a second, I can look up the. So what's written on there? So what 92-3, what's written at the sublanguage at the bottom is just saying that interested persons,
okay, other people, you
know, yeah it's just referring to that people
can have the
opportunity to present how they want to.
Okay, so that is it's only to consider those who are testifying or other people, not the council itself, right?
Yeah, so sorry, I'm trying to look right now in the rule, in the law, where it specifically states that members need to be on camera.
Yeah,
Mala, if you are there, talk to the public. You know,
so in 92.3.7b2, it says, except as provided in subsection C and D, a quorum of board members participating in the meeting shall be visible and audible to other members and the public during the meeting, provided that no other meeting participant shall be required to be visible during the meeting. And sorry, did that help provide any clarification at all?
Yeah, but
I think he read the statute correctly, yeah. But it's condensed.
Yeah, I think you're read it correctly, but I think what we have is a condensed version.
Yeah, So you know the language at the bottom of the agenda is just referring to the fact that, you know, if somebody wants to testify, yeah, on an item, that they have the opportunity to do so.
But it should be clear.
Right.
It says all interested persons shall be afforded an opportunity to present oral testimony or submit data, views, or arguments in writing on any agenda item. So that's what that language is referring to, that people wanting to testify on an item have that opportunity to present testimony.
Thank you for the clarification. Anyone have anything else? No. Wait, one second. Yes, our chair is coming. Madam Chair, I think there's no more discussion. Yep.
I did have a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Is the burial treatment plan updated since 1996?
Needs to come from that.
Excuse me?
Is the burial treatment plan updated since 1996? The burial treatment plan for Haena, or even Haena State Park, or
yes,
no.
Oh, it's not.
No, it's the same. It's a burial treatment plan for the septic system that came in at the state parks. It goes with what happened at that time.
Okay.
So that is. Okay. Burial treatment plan that is in their file, that's at Shifty's files. And I do know, you know, at some point they probably have to update their system. But which then there's an opportunity when there's previously identified burials. So the burial council will definitely get involved in that.
Okay, yeah, because I have the plans for Haena Island, you know, island of Kauai, not just a specific.
Burial treatment plant only is specific to that parcel and that location.
Right, right. So I have Haena and an estate park.
Yeah. Location would have its own if it has one. And
okay.
Some properties do not have one because there has never been a discovery of burials.
All right. All right. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Mahalo. Being that there is no further business to this.
I have one more question for Palala. Malala, you're Nepali, and I feel like really alarmed that there's Ivi Kupuna that was taken from Honopu, and Kaui I think, was saying that they haven't gotten back to Kanu and put that back, maybe from David Buckley. So that's really alarming. And I'm wondering if you know about this, and this is another reason why we say you can't just take the Ivi Kupuna out without council, because there are descendants and people that, I mean, burial council doesn't even know. So anyways, I'm a little flustered at that comment.
I'm going to answer that for you, Megan. Okay. The reason he doesn't know about it is because it was done. I was blessing a home, and I found it in a home that the person that was in that home was held. He discovered, he took it, and he brought it. It was 50 years ago that he did that. And he had it in his hands for 50 years. And when I did the blessing at the house and discovered that, that's when I told them that we would have to call Shifty or the police and make a report and everything, because it was something that he picked up, nobody else. He was the one at age 18, picked it up and decided that this is what he wanted to hold on to. Yes, he's very sick, but, you know, I mean, once that got out of his home, then he was okay. But, you know, I mean, that's how it happened. And after that, that's what I said. I never heard from Shifty or David on how, where this Evie went to. But it is, they told us a specific area that it came from. So that's why I know.
Thank you for that, Kali. That's really disturbing that that could happen. And I think, you know, the process is more transparency. Like, there should be include Palala, you know, since he is the burial council for that area. But yeah, that is really alarming that wouldn't be taken care of immediately, especially since, you know, it should have been released and then put back as best that we can, because that person can't be made well or reversed until that Ivi Kupuna can go back. So thanks for your part in trying to make right and then continue to follow up with David Buckley about that. How long ago was that?
I'm going to say about four months ago, maybe 4 to 6 months ago. Yeah, around there.
Okay. We have a boat and we can help get it back if anybody wants to be part of making that happen, because Ivi Kupuna needs to go back, but I offer that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, no discussion. Everything good?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, our next meeting is on December 18th.
December 18th.
No, 18. Yeah, 18. You guys able to, yes, or decide whether or not? Okay. Okay, I guess we would adjourn our meeting today. Thank you very much. Aloha.
11:34.
Guys. Here we are. Guys, thank you very much. You know, I know this was kind of difficult.